Please be seated. Well, we now have the sermonette, Mr. Andy Munro.
Thank you, Mr. Henderson. Good afternoon, everybody. Right. This was mentioned in the opening prayer just now. Today is a day that we'll be taking up an offering, which is one of God's holy days where we do, in fact, take up an offering. And we'll be doing that in a little while. But first, I just want to give the offering sermonette. Today, we give an offering to God, not because we're commanded to, but because we love God. I can remember the exact wording being used by a minister who was quite senior, not long after Mr. Armstrong had died, in the days when things started going a little bit off track. It makes logical sense. We give an offering to God because we love God. It seemed to make sense. Not because we're commanded to, but because we love God. Is this true? Do we give it solely because we love God, or because we're commanded? If you turn, please, to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, this was scripture that this minister turned to. And in verse 6, the cheerful giver. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The minister put quite a heavy emphasis on not giving of necessity, and that we should purpose in our own heart of what we should give. So there were choices, as Mr. Hancock said this morning, there were choices that we should make. Purpose in our heart, what we should give, how much we should give, was up to us to decide. The minister wanted to deceive us into the fact that we give an offering solely because we love God, and that is the only reason. Within a few years, the law had been done away with. This was the first step. Once the law had been done away with, the reasoning was the commandments were used as a rod to beat the Israelites, and it was that was forcing them to give the offering. That was how the commandment was portrayed, and we loved God, so therefore that was why we gave the offering. But when you got to that point, we then decide what we give as an offering, and we also then have the opportunity to decide what is acceptable to give as an offering and how we give the offering. Because we love God, we're doing it in a loving attitude, and therefore our offering, should be acceptable. Now, there is one example in the Bible I'd like to turn to, back in Genesis, please, Genesis 4, where someone decided what they were to give as an offering. It's the third thing we actually find out about this person. Back in Genesis 4, the first thing we find out about Cain is the fact that he is born and he is called Cain. The second thing in verse 2 is Genesis 4 verse 2 is we find out that he is a farmer. And then it goes on. And in the process of time, in verse 3, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door." In order for God to have said that, he had to have taught them what to give as an offering. If he hadn't taught them what to give an offering, then he would be a respecter of persons, because he says he respected Abel and his offering, but of Cain's he did not respect. And in order to do well, you need to have been told what you've got to do. Otherwise, you can't be marked against that criteria. If you think about it, Cain's attitude was, "Hey, I'm giving, aren't I? That's what's important, isn't it?" No, it's not. He was choosing, of his own free will, what he was going to give to God and in what attitude he was going to do it. Cain was giving an offering, as Mr. Armstrong said this morning, it was your sacrifices. It wasn't the offering or the sacrifice that God had said. it was Cain's. And as it said this morning, that was not appropriate. Today is the day of Pentecost, where about 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit was given to the church. The Holy Spirit expresses itself in the outwardly ways. Mr. Armstrong always used to say it's the way of give. It follows what God says. It follows his laws and his commandments. And it cannot go against that. If you turn, please, to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Go from one end to the other, just get you working, keep you awake this afternoon. 1 John 2, verse 3. It's under the heading, the test of knowing him. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. We're led by the Holy Spirit in us. We're led to keep the commandments. We're led to give an offering this afternoon. But we must give not just because we love God, but because we are also commanded to give. The Holy Spirit fills us with the love of God towards him. It obeys the commandments. It obeys his statutes and his judgments. It does not allow us to have human reasoning to sidestep the issues and to get round what God says so that we can do what we want. One thing we are not told about the free will offering is how much to give. With tithing, we know we are to pay back to God 10% of what he has given to us. It is not our money, but we are told to give 10% of our increase. But with the free will offering, we are not told how much in exact figures or numbers that we are to give. If you could turn to Deuteronomy 16, please, back to the other end. Deuteronomy 16, and in verse 10, under the Feast of Weeks, reviewed heading in my Bible. Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God, with a tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord has blessed you. So, it is in relationship to how we have been blessed, but there's no fixed figure on it. So, here we can see we are commanded to give a freewill offering. And in verse 11, you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. So I think that just about covers everybody in this room and everybody who's tuned in on the internet. So we're commanded to give a freewill offering in accordance with how much we have been blessed, and we are told to do it in a rejoicing manner. And it says in verse 12, and you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and that you shall be careful to observe these statutes. Physical Israelites had come out of physical Egypt. We as spiritual Israelites have been brought out of spiritual Egypt, or sin. It's a huge blessing that we have been given. And it says, you shall be careful to observe these statutes, the ones that have just been listed above. So we find that there is criteria that our offering must meet. It is not the value of it, but it is our attitude. We should give in a rejoicing attitude, not grudgingly or of necessity. We are to remember that we've been brought out of bondage. We must give because we love God, because we are commanded to give, and we must give in accordance with those commandments. If we do this, then it will not be our sacrifice or offering that we will be giving. It is one that meets God's criteria. God has said that he would prefer the offering of the widow's mite rather than, he doesn't actually say £1 million, but he would prefer that size figure that is given in the wrong attitude by someone who is giving in the same way as you give to charity or you give to a beggar, We should not give in that attitude. We are giving to the very Creator, the one who has made all things, who has created all things. Everything that we have has been given to us by God. So in conclusion, we are to give an offering, yes, out of love towards God, but not solely for that reason. We should give because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and that is leading us to follow God's laws, God's statutes, God's judgments. The keeping of the commandments perfects the love within us. And the more we keep his word, the more the love of God is perfected in us. It goes round and round. You cannot break the chain. Or if you do break the chain, the loop ends. It is one leading on to the next, back to the first one. It goes round and round. So let us now take up an offering to the one that has created all things, to the one that is sitting on his throne with his son at his right hand, who will hopefully be coming back to set this world to rights very soon. Let's give it in a rejoicing manner, thanking him for the blessings that he has given to us. And while the offering is being taken up, we will hear the offering music, which is "How Lovely Are Thy Dwellings," which will be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson and accompanied on the piano by Mrs. Estelle Monroe.